on this glorious solemnity of the Assumption of the Blessed Virgin Mary, naturally our minds and hearts go to heaven, where Mary is. This is the kind of feast day that transcends earthly concerns. In fact, it even transcends the readings themselves. So there's no scripture reading that captures this event of Mary's assumption into heaven. But that doesn't mean that it's not connected to our earthly life. We have a lot to learn about ourselves and about this world, about the destiny of the human person, when we reflect upon the Blessed Virgin Mary. And to bring up something very earthly, I'll just mention what is in the international news these days. You probably know this, that today the President of the United States, President Trump, and the President of Russia, President Putin, are meeting today in Alaska. High-level summit meeting to talk about the war in Ukraine, which is going on for well over 3 years already. Okay, what does that have to do with the Assumption? I'll get back to that in a moment. In fact, when it comes to nations of this world and earthly powers, the scriptures say that those things are like a drop in the bucket, right? Like rust on the scales. That's the nations. United States, Russia, China, Philippines, any nation. Rust on the scales by comparison to the power of God. But we should be interceding for peace in Ukraine. We should be asking Our Lady, who's reigning gloriously in heaven, to pray for peace in Ukraine. So that I'll get back to them in a moment. But now let's just reflect on Mary and what we're actually celebrating today. We're not simply celebrating Mary going to heaven. A lot of good people are in heaven. A lot of people go to heaven. What's unique about Mary is that she is bodily in heaven. She has a glorified body. This is the special characteristic of this feast day and of Mary's journey. We're here in this Jubilee year, and we are identified as pilgrims of hope. Well, where is this pilgrimage really leading? What are we really hoping for? We're not just hoping for a nice life or a peaceful journey, and we're not just hoping to go to heaven. We're actually hoping for glorified bodies in heaven. Although people aren't thinking about that most of the time. They'll be satisfied just to go to heaven in their soul. But God has something greater in mind for us than our soul being in heaven. He wants us to have glorified bodies. At the end of time, we believe in the resurrection of the body, right? The resurrection of the body, so that it may be glorified in heaven. That's the ultimate conclusion of our pilgrimage. Why we are pilgrims of hope? Because we believe that this glorious conclusion is available to us because of the triumph of Jesus Christ over sin and death. What we see in the Blessed Virgin Mary is a first fruits of that victory. Yes, Mary is unique because she's free from sin. But she's not unique in having a glorified body. She's simply the first. Of course, Jesus is the first, but he's a divine person. Mary is the first human person with a glorified body, and there are more to come at the end of time. So that's what we're celebrating. Mary, not only in heaven, but Mary in heaven, body and soul. The church does not declare what exactly happened, whether she died first and was taken to heaven, or whether she was simply taken up to heaven. All the church says is, at the end of the course of her earthly life, she did not suffer corruption, but was taken body and soul into glory. Those who say she must have died first say that's because she's the perfect disciple of Jesus, and Jesus died. Well, that's a pretty good argument. Those who say she didn't die say, well, Jesus was killed, and that's why he died. A body, a person with no sin, would have no reason to die. There's no effect of sin to make her die. So Mary wasn't killed, so those theologians say she must have just been taken up. We don't know for sure. In fact, it doesn't really matter, ultimately, because she's in glory in heaven. Critics of this beautiful and glorious doctrine say, this is just the Catholics making a big deal out of Mary again, coming up with some way to honor her in otherworldly ways. It isn't that. There are actually Old Testament precedents for people being taken to heaven. First one being Enoch. Mysteriously, that's way back early chapters of the book of Genesis. Enoch walked with God and was taken up. We don't know what happened to Enoch. Then there's the case of Moses, who we just heard about this a few days ago. He did die, and he was buried, but the scripture says no one knows the place of his burial. No one knows what happened to the body of Moses. Maybe we wouldn't think of it again, except that last week we celebrated the Transfiguration, and who shows up? Moses. And then the greatest example of all in the Old Testament is Elijah. Elijah was taken up to heaven in a whirlwind. He was taken up in a fiery chariot with fiery horses. There's some mystical experience transferred Elijah from this world to heaven. Was that an assumption? I don't know. It's a mystical experience. Now, Moses and Elijah couldn't enter glory fully because heaven was not open yet until Jesus rose from the dead. So when Jesus was transfigured, as we celebrated last week, and he was radiant with glory, Moses and Elijah appeared with him on the mountain. Was that their real bodies? Their glorified bodies? I don't know. But the reason I bring it up is because we're talking about something that transcends earthly knowledge and earthly experience. So the idea of Mary being taken to heaven is not just some fanciful myth that the Catholics came up with. This is an ancient tradition, and we celebrate it as a dogma of our faith. Now, Mary with a glorified body is the first fruits of the whole human family, at least those who are willing to accept the great gift of redemption. She's also the high point of what St. John Paul II referred to as the theology of the body. The theology of the body, as you know, is a deep reflection on human life and human love and how love is expressed with our human bodies. John Paul emphasized over and over again, we're not just souls trapped in bodies. The human person is a soul body being. Having a body or being a body is simply part of being human. That's why we're never completely fulfilled until we have glorified bodies. Even the saints in heaven right now are still awaiting their glorified bodies. This is the conclusion or the destination of the theology of the body. It's important for us to recognize this because it gives us an understanding of how we are to treat our own bodies and respect the bodies of one another. The body is not just a shell. It's not just a container of the soul. The body is part of being human. And so when we care for our own bodies, when we care for the bodies of others, especially the sick, the elderly, that is a way of respecting the plan of God for their glory. Now, let me go back to Mr. Trump and Mr. Putin. He said this is not connected. It is connected. For some reason, these two powerful men, earthly powerful, they have decided to meet in person, face to face. I mean, flying from Moscow to Alaska or from Washington, D.C. to Alaska is a huge commitment. It's hours of flying. It's traveling over many time zones. They could easily pick up a phone. They could easily get on their video call services from their presidential palaces and talk to each other, and they've done it many times. Why this effort to go halfway across the world and meet face to face? Because of the dignity of the body. Because there's something different when we're physically present with a person. We know this from the COVID days when people could not go to Mass. Watching a Mass online, even praying with the Mass online, is not the same as being present in person. meeting someone on a Zoom, in a Zoom meeting is not the same as meeting in person. There's something distinct about being physically present with another person. So Mr. Trump and Mr. Putin seem to agree with this. What do you think God had in mind when he wanted Mary to be fully present in heaven? Of course, she has to be physically present, because to be fully present means to be face to face in our bodies. If it's just on a Zoom call, there's something still missing. So simply to be present spiritually is not yet the fullness of presence. So, okay, set aside Trump and Putin, they're just rust on the scales. But the idea that there's a difference when we are talking face to face, when we're present face to face, that is important, and that's at the heart of this celebration. Why bother glorifying Mary's body? Why make a big deal out of her physical body? Because that's how God wants us to be present to one another, how he wants us to be present to him. The glorification of the body. Mary is in heaven. She's glorified in heaven. She's face to face with her son, with the Trinity. She's enthroned with God in heaven. We'll celebrate her queenship next week. And that's why we can confidently turn to her and ask her intercession. We ask the Queen of Heaven and Earth to pray for us, to pray for peace in Ukraine, to pray for all the intentions that we bring before her. And part of being pilgrims of hope, part of our hope is that we know we have a powerful intercessor in heaven, the glorious Ever Virgin Mary. So as we celebrate her, as we rejoice in her triumph, we also rejoice to have her interceding for us, and we rejoice to have her as the foretaste of what God has in mind for all of us.